Welcome back, everybody, to the Full Tank Motorcycle Podcast. This week, we're at Motorcycle Live, the UK's biggest and best motorcycle show, and we've had a bloody good day, haven't we, mate?
Yeah, it's been a good day. Yeah, tiring, but good.
Very busy. We've been shooting content for the main Motobob channel, but also, we thought we'd take the chance, now it's quietened off at the end of the day, to take you for a little walk, show you some of our favourite bikes. First up, we're at Suzuki, and there's some rather interesting bikes. I do like the new Hayabusa 25th anniversary edition. Yeah. Very orange, very punchy. That one definitely caught my eye. But one you said you liked a bit was this, the GSX S1000 GX.
Yes, I think what I mean by that is like it's surprising. I was saying this to you, right? Most bikes look better in the flesh. Yep. Almost all bikes, in fact, look better in the flesh. So if you don't like the look of it from the pictures, which I didn't really with that one, you might actually change your opinion when you see it in real life. And I have to say that has turned me around a little bit.
It's turned you.
Yeah, yeah. I'd accept that.
I think also, like from a technical perspective, it does actually look quite good. Yeah. It's their first ever, did you know this? Their first ever bike with semi-active electronic suspension. Did I tell you that?
You did tell me that, yeah, but I had forgotten it. So that's brand new information to me. that is big for Suzuki. They've been a little bit behind the curve on that one, so it's good.
And it looks like fully comprehensive in terms of all the features, anti-dive and all that. Quite a cool looking bike, like you say.
Yeah, nice colours too.
Great engine. Have you ridden one of the inline fours, the thousands from Suzuki?
Older ones, yeah. I forget. I did the Katana for sure, yeah.
So look, this is based on the K5, I believe, which goes way back. So it's not going to be really any different, but smooth, sounds good, quite torquey as well, but also really quick, and I think plenty enough power for touring and that sort of riding. I actually don't really have any downside for this bike. It is about 15 grand. I don't know if that's sort of money where you're starting to think, well, can I buy something a bit more desirable or like European or something?
Possibly. I don't know, but you can tell me if that's in line with its competition. Is that still a bit of a bargain?
Or what is the competition? I suppose something like the Ninja 1000 SX from Kawasaki, but that's definitely a couple grand, I think, lower, maybe even less. Yamaha Tracer 9, perhaps,
yeah,
but I think, again, that's a little bit less expensive, unless you go for the Tracer 9 GT Plus, which we looked at earlier.
Well, I was going to say, do they have the trick suspension like this one, though?
Yes, it does, and it has radar cruise control.
But the Plus does, and the Plus is more expensive.
Yes, the Plus is probably the most equivalent, and it does get a radar, which gives you like active cruise control, and it ties into the engine and the braking and the suspension as well. It firms the suspension up when the radar tells it to slow down in order to stop it diving forward. So pretty comprehensive. I think that's probably the most comparable bike. But anyway, look, it's another option. And like you said, it actually does look a lot better in the flesh, especially in this sort of like forest green. Not a colour that I'd expect necessarily from Suzuki, but it really looks quite good. And so if you're looking for this kind of bike, it's just like, I wouldn't gloss over this. Get down to a deal and have a look.
No, really, yeah. Check it out. I would compare it.
Next up, we're at the Honda stand. And the bikes that we've been most, I guess, engaged with, you being a current Africa Twin owner, are the two updates to the Africa Twins. So the base model and the Adventure Sports. Now, first impressions, what we're thinking of the looks. They've done a little bit of an update. It's a little bit more edgy, I'd say.
Yeah. It's not a huge leap forward, even from mine, actually. So mine's the 2016. I think it's very similar to it. It is an improvement. It is a tweak. But I don't think it looked particularly dated. So they haven't changed it.
Well, it's always been such a good looking adventure bike, hasn't it, that it's not really needed like a big overhaul. It's like they just tweak the headlight, they just tweak the bodywork, and even the paint jobs. There's always a black one, then there's a red, white and blue one, and then there's a white, blue and red one, and they just tweak them and evolve them, and they still look absolutely brilliant. One thing you said is you like the look of the new tubeless spoke rims on the...
I do. That looks really good in the flesh. There is... Which one's got the smaller wheel on it as well?
Yeah, Adventure Sports.
Yeah. So it's not that noticeable, I've got to be honest. It still looks okay and it still looks appropriate. In the photos, I think I said or made a bigger deal about it sort of looking a little bit out of place.
Yeah.
But I think it looks okay.
Realistically, if you're road riding, I think that's going to feel quite a bit better as well.
Definitely that, yeah.
The only thing that I pointed out in our walk around of the stand on the main channel is now the Adventure Sports... In the UK anyway, I think it varies by market. You can only get it with DCT. We discussed this recently.
Yeah,
but also you can only get it with the electronic suspension. And so that means really the only Adventure Sports you can buy in the UK is fully maxed out in terms of like the big choices of spec. And so that means the starting price now, mate, is, have you seen that?
Oh, yeah.
$17,599, which really puts it right up there with like a GS, a Multistrada V4, a Tiger 1200 in their fancy specs as well. And so the question is, I mean, Can you see anyone paying 17 and a half for a 100 horsepower bike?
Maybe not, but I think they should look at it. But I get that the other bikes might have the edge.
Why should they look at it?
Well, as an owner of it, I had somebody looking at mine recently, right? Mm. And they were like, oh, they're still holding their value, and I don't get why. And I was like, well, then you're never going to buy one. If you don't get it, it's not something someone can talk you round on. Mm. If you walk into a Honda dealership, they're not going to be able to talk you round. If you're just basing it off the horsepower and everything else, as we know, that's not the full story, right? 100 yeah. horsepower is fine.
Yeah.
I don't feel lacking with that at all. But with some people, they just want, you know, you feel like you're getting less for the money.
So what you're saying is this is the actual thinking man's adventure bike.
Yeah, we'll go with that.
Rather than the spec sheet sort of magpie who sees a high power numbering just goes with that.
Spec sheet magpie. Yes, that's the term I'm going to go with. I mean, there is no wrong answer. Honestly, those bikes are great as well. So I get why you would want to go for that as well, you know, but personally, I still think for me, this has got a place in my heart, obviously because I've owned one as well. I know how good they are. I have ridden others. I just really like an Africa Twin.
I would say, in my experience as well, it is a bike that maybe outperforms what it looks like on the spec sheet.
100% like, that.
There's so much torque. It's such satisfying engine as well.
Yes, yeah, yeah. It also just feels a bit more cheeky to me.
Yeah.
From the other ones that I've ridden, it feels a bit more raucous, especially if you stick on an aftermarket exhaust on it and you get a nice like snarl out of the engine. They just feel a bit cheeky, a bit more raw.
They are so good off-road as well. I think that's one of the reasons people like them. Perhaps that detracts a little bit on this, but maybe with the price now, 17 and a half grand, you're less likely to take it off-road where it might get damaged anyway. Come on, like you've got to be deep pockets if you're going to be doing that. But it has to be said, the base bike, you can still pick that up in a fairly basic spec. And that now comes in at still around 13 grand, I think it starts, you know, with a manual transmission and without the electronic suspension. But it's got those nice little bits, like we say, bigger windscreen. It's adjustable now. Is yours fixed?
Mine was fixed, yeah.
Yeah, so that's a big deal. And you've got the tubeless wheels, which I don't know about you, but I'd much rather have those on any bike pretty much. So much easier to repair. Fantastic looking. That's probably one of my favorite looking adventure bikes at the show and outside of the show. The base spec now with the spoke wheels laced to the edges and that particular red, black, white and blue.
It's nice.
Beautiful. Love that. Earlier when we came here and I said, can we film this little Honda DAX? You went, what? That?
I said, really, I think, yeah.
Yeah.
What's
your problem with it? I've got a bone to pick.
There's no. It was a surprise to me. I just didn't know this would be like high on your list of grabs for today.
It's actually a lot of fun. We reviewed it last year, and it's just a little bike I'd love to have. Mainly because I think I could fit it in the back of the van without taking the second row
easily.
Out.
Yeah,
that'd be so much fun.
Well, if you've got like a camper van, you see them strapped to the back of
you
sometimes.
Yes, exactly.
£3,800 though, as a toy.
That's a bargain. It's the little bike that can do anything.
It does look bomb-proof. It looks like it would just keep going.
If you're the sort of biker who likes to use your particular mode of transport as a means of meeting other people, when I was out riding that, when I had one for a couple of weeks, literally, it's a £3,800 conversation starter that can also transport you.
You could
honestly
be on something that was like 16 grand. You'd be annoying a lot of people when they turn up and they want a conversation about their bike and no one cares. And you turn up on that and someone goes, oh, mate, nice bike.
Also, it's twist and go. It's got a centrifugal clutch, I think, or something like that. So, you know, very easy to ride. And I just remember going on some of the roads that I review like bigger bikes on, you know, with like long corners, and you are wide open on the throttle and you're so close to the ground trying to get it to go quickly and keep momentum up that it just feels like super fun to ride. I think it's got a heel shifter as well, is it? Yeah, it's got a heel shifter. Heel shifters are cool.
What's a heel shifter?
Rather than a normal shift peg where you would put your foot under it and lift it to shift up.
Oh yeah,
you just bang it with your heel. Have I changed your opinion?
I mean, I liked it anyway, to be honest. I did say really, but that wasn't a really like I hate this bike. It was more like a all right.
But yeah, is this the bike you're gonna focus
okay.
on? The fuel being in the frame as well.
Yeah.
That's a great thing
great
in my
balance,
bike.
Yeah, keeps it nice and central.
Yeah, it's a performance thing. It's optimizing the center of mass.
Yeah, that's it.
Cracking bike, loved it. Question, are Kawasaki the most forward-thinking motorcycle manufacturer at the moment? I mean, they've got two electric bikes here, two hybrid bikes, and there isn't another major player, I don't think, who's got an electric on the market yet.
Hybrid as well? What does that sort of explain that to me?
Well, as you would think, it's got a 500cc parallel twin,
okay.
The same as we saw in the Eliminator 500, I think, or very closely related, and then also a battery and motor. and it will switch between the two.
Right, so it doesn't use both of them, like, you know, with some fancy sports cars where it, like, it bumps up the power, yeah.
I don't think so. I'm yet to ride it and find out, but I don't think so. I think at lower speeds it's on electric, and you can choose as well between EV mode or HEV mode. It doesn't have a gear shifter or clutch, right, because obviously it's got to be able to switch between electric and internal combustion, so you can't necessarily do that yourself. And so what you've got is something a little bit like DCT. It will make the shifts for you, yeah, and you can, on the bars, switch between manual and automatic. And then if you do want to shift gears manually, you do it with buttons.
Very fancy.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
It looks really good. What surprised me about seeing it in the flesh is just how small the fuel tank is. It looks really narrow. And then you're like, oh yeah, I get it, because it didn't really need any. Well, it needs less fuel, let's say. Kind of unusual looking bikes, all of them, because
a little bit.
The proportions are different fundamentally from an internal combustion bike, which is what we're used to seeing. So the electric ones look like they got a bit missing at the front, where the engine extends down a bit more. The hybrid, I think, looks just a little too plump. It's like a Ninja 650 that they've squeezed more stuff into. But despite those slightly unusual proportions, I think they've done quite a good job of sort of bringing the design language close enough to the other bikes on their stand.
I didn't even notice. That's how good that was, right? We were shooting because we were concentrating on the camera, but yeah, I genuinely, until you just told me.
Some Kawasaki's, don't they?
Yeah, I took it for granted, really. But now that I'm looking at them a little bit more detailed, yeah, that's really cool. I would say that's a good vote for them being the most forward-thinking or advanced. They've certainly got it out quicker than anyone else, so that's impressive.
Hats
and it
off.
Is Kawasaki, so it's not going to be, you know, crappy quality, is it? So
no, looks decent. Looking forward to trying those out. Maybe we'll do a back-to-back where we both ride them.
Sure.
Now, the other bikes that have caught our eye on this stand are the retro anniversary paint jobs for the ZX10R. So there's three. One that I said looked a little bit Christmassy.
Christmassy, yeah.
Green, white, and red.
It is very Christmassy, but it's
nice. I
know
it is Kawasaki, you know, retro historical colours, but it does have a festive appearance. Quite nice.
Appropriate. Good timing.
Then we've got the green, white, and blue over there with the pink logos.
I think that is my favourite.
My favourite, though.
It's very close. This is nice.
Yeah, purple, black, pink, a little bit of silver. And what's interesting about these is we've had lots of interactions with people who watch the channel out and about around the show, which has been amazing. And speaking to people about, you know, what's caught your eye, anything you fancy sort of thing, these special paint jobs.
I would put, like, money on it now that these would be the ones my dad goes, oh, nice, because he used to have ZX7R, I think it was, in that colour. So the green with the pink logo. I think he's going to like these, yeah.
Question, though, do you think sports bikes are the new retro scene?
Yeah, I think it's having a resurgence as well in
like 90s vibe and that sort of thing. You know, we've got stuff like the Thruxton, which has been discontinued this year, so maybe the 60s and 70s inspired bikes are starting to
I think we're moving up to 80s and 90s for sure. Yeah,
and I'm quite happy about it because these look absolutely fantastic. The only issue is you spotted the price, which I didn't even look at.
Oh my
earlier.
God, yes, 26,500 pounds.
Yeah, that really did surprise me. I don't think a regular ZX10R is anywhere near that. Well, it is an RR. It is an RR. But still, that does sound rather steep. It's one that's just for the well-to-do sports bike enthusiasts, but still doesn't stop us appreciating it here on the stand, Tim.
True.
Now over at Triumph, and we're stood by the new 400 singles, which I think you're a fan of, right?
Definitely a fan, yeah. You asked me if I'd have one, and I said, I don't know.
Yeah.
If, as my one and only, I'd want something a little bit bigger. But if I could have a second bike.
400 single, it makes about 40-odd horsepower. So is that the issue for you on the road?
On the road, I was saying this to you before, yeah. So if I was going for something that was, as an off-roader, I think I'd quite like a little 400 or something because you don't need more power than that. If you're going off-road, you want it to be lighter, stuff like that. This isn't the kind of bike that I genuinely would take off-road. I know it can do it. It's great that it is a scrambler and you can go and zip around, but we both know that like a scrambler isn't the tool you want really for that purpose. So it wouldn't be my pick for that. But as a city bike, as like a hop around town, that sort of stuff, and it'll still do, you know, higher speeds and stuff, so you could still go and have some fun on B roads and things. Great bike, great starter bike as well. Certainly see a market for it. And if I was, I don't know, a little bit earlier in my riding, that's a bike I would consider. But if you've got a bike that has to do everything, your one and only bike, it wouldn't be this one. But yeah, not a mark against it at all.
I was sort of expecting this to be the busiest part of the Triumph stand just because of the really appealing price point. But it was kind of interesting that over where the Rocket 3 was, there was just a big crowd of people. And it just goes to show that even if you put out something that's kind of like affordable and therefore accessible to a lot of people, it doesn't necessarily generate, you know, the video we made about this bike got a lot of views, but still people are attracted to the thing they can't afford, potentially,
yeah,
at 20 or 20 odd grand.
You or me, right? I'd be going over and sitting on the Rocket because it's not the bike I'm going to buy. I haven't got the money for that. I probably never will, but that's the one I want to go and sit on. This is the sort of bike I probably would end up buying.
Yes, absolutely. And maybe there's something in that for the strategy of the manufacturers. I mean, look at Ducati recently putting out that super special looking anniversary edition of the Panigale V4 SP2. It's like 40 grand. And you're thinking, well, who's going to buy that? Who's interested in that? But ultimately, that's what gets people excited about the company and the brand. And it maybe is the thing that sways them to buy a Scrambler. Or
it's the gateway, isn't it? Yeah. Gets you into the brand, like you say. And then, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting to see that. The other bikes on the Try and Stand that caught your eye were the Stealth Editions.
Really nice. Blue and red, personally prefer. Did like the, it's like an orangey green, isn't it?
On the Street Scrambler.
Yeah, it's a little bit more subtle on the red and the blue. Yes. It blends in a bit better. Yeah, really like that. If I was buying a Bonneville, that's the colour I'd be going towards for sure.
Absolutely. You didn't actually know that I'd painted one as well. That was something I did on the main channel.
I
don't think that video
is... I want to feel it. I feel like it's going to be bumpy or something.
Yeah. Yeah, I was lucky enough to go to the factory, got to paint one of the Stealth Editions. You had to, basically, it's a base coat of like metallic red on that red one you like. Then you fade the black on top. Yeah. Oh, wait. I got it wrong. I think it's base coat of silver. Metallic red, base coat of silver. I did do it, I promise. Base coat of silver,
yeah.
Fade the black.
Okay.
And then put candy clear red over the top.
Over the top, okay.
I think that's what we did. I have to watch it back, mate. But yeah, they did post it out. It's in the studio
now.
Did you
black out while you were doing it?
I honestly.
Is that why it looks so ropey?
It's in the studio now. I was really chuffed when I finished it. And in the video, I was like, oh, look, it was a great experience. And I think the tank looks fantastic. But then I had to add a part to the video where it arrived in the studio. I got it out of the box. And under the hex lights, you know, in my studio that are very bright, I was like, well, it's not perfect. It's a little like orange skinny, which is a sign of a bad paint job. But in my defense, I reckon they didn't rub it down to the same level they would with a proper one.
Yeah, they've hamstringed you there, haven't they?
They stitched me up. Question, mate. Are there too many Tenere 700s now?
Possibly. Count them out for me.
It was originally like a very simple bike, wasn't it? You know, a little parallel twin, good off-road chassis, and that's what made it appealing. Good price point. Now it's becoming a little bit complex, and I think the heads of the Yamaha potential customers might be spinning. So you've got... base Tenere 700.
Okay.
Then you've got the Explore model, which is new for this year, and that's got luggage as standard, a bigger windscreen, lower suspension, so road-focused, touring-focused. Yeah. Then you've got the Extreme, which gets taller suspension.
That's quite cool looking. Yeah, I got that. Yeah.
Then you've got the World Raid, which gets taller suspension, like that.
Yeah.
And a much bigger fuel tank, so it's like a World Rally Raid, long distances off-road kind of vibe. Yeah. I really like that bike. I've read it at the off-road centre. Excellent.
That's then this the one, World Rally I'm reading on there. Okay.
This is the World Rally.
Is that different to that one?
Yes.
Marginally.
I'm looking at the thing. Key features. Colours, Akrapovic, dual tank, seat. I honestly don't know what's different.
I'm loving the little like camo on the plastic.
Yes, it looks cool. But I'm just like, if I'm buying one, which one am I buying? Which one would you go for? This one, because it's pink and blue, isn't it?
It's right in front of me. This one here. I do like the dual tank. That's, I don't know, it's quite a cool little...
So basically...
Is it necessary?
Well, how that works, I believe, is you've got this big tank that's 23 litres or something like that. Right. And the idea is that it hangs down either side, a little bit like a KTM.
For the balance,
keeps
the weight a bit
lower. But down here somewhere, I think there's a link pipe between the two main cells of the tank to even it out. But I think it might be quite slow to trickle through, and so you've got two fuel filler caps so you can fill it quicker.
Okay. But it's not so slow that it would throw your balance off, but too slow to fill up just one side.
Something like that, mate.
Because otherwise that would be redundant. Okay, I mean, it looks cool, if nothing else, and it must be functional because you wouldn't just stick that on there for the sake of sticking it on there. Genuinely, I think this or the Extreme, I do like extreme things. I love them. That gold, like the little gold pops on it, the wheels, the forks. It's a little stubbier looking as well. I think, does the business really. It's very, what would you call it, specialized as a bike, that one.
One thing that I will say, in my experience of riding them, is that the World Raid, the World Rally, and the Extreme all get the upgraded KYB suspension, and it was really, really noticeable riding them off-road. On the road, probably not such a big deal for the, you could go for the T7 or the Explore, which is a little bit lower. Yeah. But if you are going off-road and you can get a good deal where it's like not a great deal more to get one of these versions, then, and if you can deal with the extra height, then it's like night and day. It feels so much more controlled. And like you can just do anything on it, even if you're not a brilliant rider, and it will just kind of soak it up. So,
I'm with you. Do you think then, with all of the upgrades and the tweaks, improvements, that, because originally I would say it probably had the crown, and then KTM with the 890 Adventure, you know, jostle between the two, do you reckon it's then taken the lead again, or is it too close to call? Which one did you prefer? It's probably hard enough to say, you know, that one is definitely better, but you must have preferred one.
I think realistically, because I just ride more on the road, so I'd buy it as a, like, all-rounder, but most of the miles I'm going to do be on the road, then the fact that the KTM's a bit more punchy, it's like 100 and something horsepower, just makes it more entertaining, more grin factor on the road. So I'd probably go that way, and it's got a more advanced electronics package, which might be good if you do ride in the wet and stuff. So I think that's probably where I'd go, but it's very close. And if I was riding off road, I think I might go for one of the Tenere's with
the
good suspension.
I think these look better than the KTM's though.
They do. You poser. Over at Ducati now, and we have to talk about the new Hypermotard 698. I think it's a 659, and then they've cheekily renamed it as a to make it sound a bit more spicy. But it has to be one of the most exciting bikes of the show in terms of like a new development. It's an all new bike, a new engine for them, and it looks proper good, doesn't it, in the flesh?
Hell yeah. Yeah, it looks really, really nice. And again, because this is Supermoto style, having the graphics on there, it's appropriate. It suits it. I mean, Ducati always do styling well. It's not something they lack at all.
But this one's definitely an eye-catching paint job. It's the RVE version, so it's a lot more punchy than the standard version, which is just the classic Ducati red. I think you also get the quick shifter standard and maybe the fancy exhaust and that sort of thing. The only thing is, it's like up at 905 mil maybe in the seat or something like that. It's really...
Yeah, you did say check if you can stand
it. We sat on the Desert X Rally, didn't we?
And that's too
tall for probably both of us.
Yeah.
I think you're in a similar situation there, which is interesting because it sits in the Ducati lineup quite, you know, low in terms of pricing because it's a relatively simple bike. It's not got a fancy TFT or anything like that. Single cylinder, quite stripped back. It's still got that Ducati swag, as you say, but it's in the sort of, is it like 10 or 11K for the base model, around that kind of area? So in a way, it's like a Ducati that people can actually maybe realistically look at owning, but then it's so tall that it probably actually rules out quite a lot of people.
Yeah, I would say so. You can always sort of side saddle it and just swing one cheek off, but not everyone likes doing that. Not everyone's comfortable doing that. Obviously, we ride a lot of bikes, so between the two of us, I think we're pretty comfortable on bikes that are too tall for us. But it's going to be a consideration for sure. For me, I'm excited to see how a Ducati single fares. It's been a while, I think, since they've had a single, right?
Yeah, it has.
And I'm excited to see the wheelie assist.
Yes, we talked about that recently, didn't we?
Yeah.
It basically helps you hold a wheelie with the front wheel sort of in the air at a set height, which is just interesting and sounds like a lot of fun. Have you ever considered buying a supermoto before, though?
No.
Would you?
Genuinely not. I think I would. Wouldn't be my first pick. And again, it'd be one of those things where you have multiple bikes. It wouldn't be my one and only bike.
Yeah, exactly. You? It's a little bit niche. Well, not really. And I rode the GasGas 700, which is the same as the KTM 690, but just with a different paint job on it. And look, it opened my eyes a bit. It seems like a little bit of a niche subculture within motorcycling. The people who ride them at the tracks and stuff and own them seem to absolutely love it as a dedicated discipline. And it wasn't something I'd really checked out. But I've got to say, I do kind of get it now from riding that bike. It's the lightness.
Yeah.
Really lightweight.
It's got to be pretty
nimble.
Really
chuckable. And torque as well from that single. Very, very punchy. And because it's so light and the throttle was quite abrupt, it just feels like thrills beyond what the spec sheet.
Yeah.
This is a recurring theme today.
Yeah.
Suggest.
Don't read the spec sheet.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I would say from people I've known who've had Hypermotards in the past, a lot of them are being like, it's one of my favorite bikes, if not my favorite bike that I've owned, which has always surprised me and intrigued me, which is why I want to try them. If I was to have a Supermoto, I think I would want to do the Husqvarna route that one of my, Hawkeye Moto, who we went and shot with, he had a KTM, and he had a smaller front wheel, a 17-inch front wheel, and then he had the 21-inch front wheel, and he just flipped between the two.
Ooh.
So for me, to go back to the origins, I think it's the origins of Supermoto, but to have an off-roader, an enduro bike that you can then swap out the front wheel on and then make it a bit more nimble, that makes more sense to me, because then you've got two bikes in one.
But then you've got to swap the tyres.
True.
Sounds like a lot of work.
All right.
On paper, I like it. In principle, fancy going for a little road spin today.
I'll get that. Yeah, you're like, oh, sorry, lads, I can't join you. I've got the knobblies on it today.
On the flip side, though, it is an affordable way to get two bikes for the price
exactly.
of one.
Exactly.
Just buy a second set of wheels. I assume he's got a second rear wheel as well, so that he's not changing the tyre.
Yeah, he's got spare tyres, basically, which is the best way to do it. I mean, you can't necessarily do that with your ZX-10R or, I guess your Tiger, stick some 17s on it.
No, you can't do that. Yeah, fair point. But anyway, yeah, definitely looking forward to checking this one out. It's high up the list, on the list of bikes to review in 2024. Just might need you to come over and give me a leg up to get on it.
Okay, yeah.
Now, over at Royal Enfield, we've had a little chance to look at the new 450 Himalayan. Is it of interest for you, because your day job at Urban Rider, you've actually taken Royal Enfield on as now a dealer.
Yep.
So hopefully you'll get a chance to ride this fairly extensively. And
almost
the one
certainly.
That's caught our eye here is actually the Rally Edition, which we're not quite sure if this is going to be available as a model in the UK, but it looks well good, doesn't it?
Yeah, there's some nice little modifications across it. One of the big ones for me, seat, obviously it's got an Arrow, I think, collab exhaust on it. Probably a few other things. What did you mention about it?
Well, it's got the headlight guard, radiator guard, and also a very nice looking kind of topographical or camo inspired paint job, which really does give it a bit of a lift. And also the tail section, there's a different bit of bodywork. It looks bulked out, almost like a fuel pod, but I don't think it is, but it's definitely got that vibe. And of all the bikes that they've released, all the different colorways, let's say, so you've got the gold wheels with the black, and there's a couple of other different ones, this is the one that appeals to me the most. I think it's a very nice looking bike.
Yeah, it's quite slender looking as well, isn't it? It looks, I mean, it's a small bike anyway, but you want it to be small and fun and kind of playful, and it looks that way to me.
The other one that's caught our eye is the Him E Electric.
Yeah,
that
I love the name.
Looks, yeah. Good little pun.
Yeah, it's a good one, yeah. And it does look trick. It looks really cool.
What is it that looks better about that than the 450, let's say?
Do you know what? I think it's like the side panels of it. It's, what's the name of the metal that they use? Like the gnarled metal. They have it on like Land Rovers and stuff like that. You'll have
checker
it on
plate.
Like, yeah, I guess.
No?
But the side panels, in essence, on that look really cool.
Just a bit of a slab.
A little bit like a cheese grater, actually, now that I'm looking at it from this distance, but in a good way.
Maybe that's intentional. If you go on an adventure and you get low on calories and you start getting lightheaded, just grate some cheese. It does look cool. It's like a bit raw looking, but I think that's maybe what's appealing about it. Quite futuristic looking. Have you noticed, though, that the seat covering goes right up over where the fuel tank would be?
Yeah, like the fuel tank, that looks a little odd, and I didn't notice that on first inspection, but then you look at it a bit longer and it's a little strange. I mean, the shape's good. I mean, at least it means you're never gonna smash your knackers against the tank. That's, you've got a full on bouncy castle there for your plums.
Yeah, it's not a pleasant experience. And so anything they can do to reduce that, and you don't need a rock hard fuel tank there because it's electric. So
exactly. Yeah, and it's going to carry that weight low, you'd imagine. I do like, it really does look quite raw. Yeah. It looks like, because they've got a whole load of customs from Royal Enfield, and that's one of the things they've really kind of highlighted here at their stand in particular. But I think with that one, it almost, again, at first glance, I thought it was just a Royal Enfield custom that someone had made. Like the sort of hand-finished welded bash plate and stuff like that. It just looks really utilitarian, which is really cool.
Very cool indeed. And I'm interested to see what comes of that and what electric Enfields hit the market first. I wouldn't expect it'll actually be a Himalayan. Do you
probably
actually
think? Probably not. Nah, it's probably a town bike, right?
Bit of a shame. But anyway, lovely looking. Rounding off at BMW, we're looking at the new R12 and R12 9T. So we know what this is, the R12 9T. It's a replacement for the R9T.
Yeah.
The R12 is a kind of new thing. It's a more cruisery style bike. My question for you is, which one would you prefer? Because
the R12, sorry, you won't be able to hear it from pointing, but yeah, the R12.
Yeah, same.
Hands
I was thinking
down,
like,
that's so nice.
I was kind of interested in this and I thought, that's a bike we've enjoyed in the past. That's probably the one I'm going to like. And when I heard about R12, like being copyrighted,
nice.
I was like, oh, is it just going to be like a mini R18? Is that going to be good? But it looks proper cool, doesn't
it? It's really cool looking.
Chunky little thing.
Yeah.
Very cool.
I mean, yeah, I guess it's not, what we're saying, it's like cruiser-esque, I suppose, but not. It's just a little bit lower, I think.
It's lower in the seat. It's got a bigger front wheel, a 19 instead of a 17.
Okay.
And 16 at the rear instead of 17 on the rear on the standard bike. The bars are a little bit up. The foot pegs are a little bit forward.
Yeah,
But it's not full cruiser, you know.
No,
it's mid-position foot pegs. And
I mean, we both like cruiser. I can't speak for you, but for me, I have owned a cruiser, the V9, liked it, but yeah, I'd prefer a bike with a little bit more lean on it, let's be fair.
Yeah.
And there's something you just can't get around on any cruiser. It's going to be a weakness of it.
But looks a bit more sporty, doesn't it?
Yeah, it looks like it will lean over, which if you can get the thing I liked about my V7 is it felt like
V9.
A cross between, no, my V7 rather than the V9. I did like the V9, but the reason I liked my V7 more is because it kind of felt like a cruiser. It felt that kind of raw and relaxed, but it would still lean over. So this looks like it would tick that sort of category. And aside from that, like those double pipes out the side there look really cool. Visually, it just looks better than the other one as well, but I'm sure I'll prefer that to ride.
Do you remember the R1250C? Oh no, R1200C was it? The one that was in the James Bond film with Pierce Brosnan?
Yes.
And it was kind of like a bit of a weird looking bike.
Yeah, yeah. Cantilever front suspension, was it on that one?
It has like the telelever thing that you get on like the GS and whatnot.
Yeah.
Is this sort of like a retribution? No, what do I mean by that? Not retribution.
Like vindication. This is like them doing it over, but doing it right.
Maybe just they've learned and they got it right now, and they've nailed it. And so this is the bike that could have been or should have been, because it looks like it's going to be really good. I mean, of course, we haven't ridden it yet. It might be terrible.
Yeah, it might be a dog. It won't be.
But certainly on the looks front, that was one thing that was a bit weird about that. It might even be an 1100, that one. I'm not sure. But yeah, looks wise, it was a little unusual. Yeah. This, fantastic looking. Like it a lot. So that rounds off our little whistle stop tour of Motorcycle Live. Many thanks for listening, everybody. We really appreciate your support. We'll be back soon with another podcast, one assumes.
Remotely, I won't see your face that time, which is a shame. We'll embrace before I go.
But yeah, many thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.